Canada is no stranger to wildfires. Since the last ice age more than 11,000 years ago, at least half of the country's huge landmass has been covered in forest, with small, naturally occurring fires as a vital part of that ecosystem. But the wildfire season of 2023 was different. Climate change, along with decades of short-sighted forest management policy, resulted in the largest fire season in North American history. Over the course of a few short months, a full 5% of the country's forests were reduced to ash, while smoke caused air pollution emergencies across the whole continent. Today, we're asking what it's like to live through a wildfire, and what this record-setting fire season means for our planet and its human and non-human inhabitants.
You're listening to Loud Numbers, a data sonification podcast. I'm Duncan Gear, and together with my co-host, Miriam Quick, we put together stories made from data and sound. It's been a while since the end of Loud Numbers Season 1, but we've partnered up with Jeremy Singer-Vine and his excellent Data is Plural podcast to create a special one-off episode. It's called Hold the Line.
We've got a special guest joining us for this episode.
My name is Fern Yip, and I live in the Coast Mountains of British Columbia in Canada on Stapleton territory on a very large lake called Anderson Lake in the Valley of the Mountains. And yeah, I live here off-grid and run a wilderness school, a nature wilderness school out here called Earth.
That's Earthkin. Living off-grid means that Fern's internet connection isn't the best. But we wanted to get her voice into this episode because this year she experienced firsthand what it's like to have a wildfire threatening your home.
Now let's be clear from the start. Wildfires are a natural phenomenon, very much part of the ecosystem in a lot of Canada.
Well, wildfire has been here for time immemorial. And you can see that walking on the land, just with all the fire scars on the trees and all the different plants here that are adapted to wildfire.
But those fires are changing.
Yeah, there's definitely been just an increase in both frequency, and I think the main thing is an intensity. There's just been such a huge fuel load that's been building over the decades. With all of the fire suppression efforts that have happened across British Columbia due to various policy reasons. And I mean, it feels like a tinderbox at times when you're walking through the forest in the dry months. And those dry months are extending even longer into the year on either end. Yeah, what I've noticed is just a lot more hearing about devastating, super intense fires. And just this past summer, having a very large scale, very intense fire pass directly through my home.
Fern and her friends chose to stay and try to defend their property. For 3 days, they held the line against the wildfire, cutting fire breaks, digging trenches, extinguishing small fires that made it inside their perimeter. The authorities were focusing their efforts on protecting a nearby town, and so they were largely on their own.
Our main tools were, we had some fire hose, so we had a little bit of water, and pickaxes, and we just didn't really know what we were doing. It's kind of like battling an unknown enemy. And what fighting that fire demanded was just everything we had to give, like all of our energy, all of our wakeful hours, all of our strength. I won't ever forget what that was like. We probably had a dozen people at the ground at all times, working round the clock with no sleep and barely a moment to take a rest or even eat. And that continued for, I would say, a full, 72 hours of continuous effort. It almost feels like it's like a living beast that's like crawling towards you with these like big fiery flames, you know, eating up all of the stuff on the ground and having trees burst into flames, and you're doing your best to essentially hold your line through a lot of physical labor and effort. The sound of trees just suddenly bursting into flame in seconds is very loud and disturbing. It's like just like you're just watching this. It's like a living creature. You know, you're watching how it behaves. You're learning about it. How does it move? How does it advance? How does it send these smoldering pine cones down slope that roll down and kind of like get ahead of the perimeter that you're trying to create?
Fern and her friends successfully held the line against the wildfire. They saved their property, but the land that they live on is deeply scarred.
If I paddle onto the lake, someone paddles onto the lake, and you look back at our property, it's like this tiny little island of green in this just crazy ocean of black and charred forest. I mean, that's really even shown in the wildlife that's taken refuge here. I've noticed a really big change in population dynamics of the bears, the deers, the squirrels, the little weasels. I noticed immediately after the fire for a few months, there was like all of these mama animals and their babies taking home, you know, taking up their spot here. I think that basically in my lifetime of living here, there's going to be like the time before the fire, the time after the fire, and everything has been reset or renewed or destroyed in some way.
Fern's experience is one that more and more people around the world will be having for the first time in the coming years.
There needs to be a change in both attitudes and efforts from all levels, small scale to institutional levels, to do something different than what has been done for the last 100 years. I think where we can take a lot of inspiration and learn a lot from about how to manage these fires better in the future is from a lot of the traditional Indigenous knowledge that exists in Canada and in BC, because those communities and peoples, they intentionally used fire to keep ecosystems healthy and to really listen to those communities if they have ideas and let them lead. Unless we put efforts into fire safing our homes and our communities, and unless we make major efforts to reintroduce, you know, prescribed fire onto land, I think we're just going to continue to see year after year of these outrageous, huge wildfire seasons.
For our sonification today, we've collected data from the Canadian authorities on the record-breaking fire season of 2023, and we turned that data into a piece of sound art that reflects the way in which forested landscapes are more vulnerable than ever.
In our track, you can hear fire data from the 1st of April to the 30th of November. A day of data lasts exactly 2.5 seconds, so a week is 17.5 seconds, and a month lasts a bit over a minute. Every time a new day starts, you'll hear this sound.
You'll hear a bunch of clicks. Each one of these clicks represents the start of a wildfire, and at the season's peak, you'll hear hundreds of these each day. Fires started by humans, accidentally or purposefully, are represented by the distinctive sound of a Zippo lighter, while those that started naturally, usually by lightning, are represented by the sound of wood crackling. When it's not known how a fire started, you'll hear a generic ignition sound.
In the background, you'll hear a rumbling sound. This represents the area of forest that burnt on that day. The larger the area burned, the louder and harsher the sound. When you have lots of large fires burning at once, often for many days, the rumbles blend together into this deafening roar.
You'll hear some musical notes in there too. These represent the cumulative area burned over the whole season. As more forest burns, more notes are added. These notes are left behind, even after the fire goes out, reflecting the scars that wildfire leaves on the landscape.
Finally, you'll hear Fern again. She names each month as it begins, so you can keep track of where you're at, and describes her experiences over the course of the year.
That's it. You're ready to hear the whole thing. This is Hold the Line.
Spring that feeds us fresh water is not flooding the forest like it usually does. Its water levels are unusually low. The snow melts sparse. A look around at the drought-tolerant ponderosa pine shows that even they are stressed by the lack of water, their needles turned red with thirst. I worry about the spring drying up. The dry crunch of leaf litter under my foot is distressing. The spring rains that promised life and new beginnings have not been forthcoming. It seems likely that the wildfire season will arrive earlier this year. Already the wildfire season is upon us. We've been weeks without rains, and the temperatures have been unbearably hot. A fire ban has been placed across most of BC. The Saskatoon berries made a poor crop this year. A few sad and pathetic berries hang from the end of their branches. I wonder about all of the creatures who rely on this generous berry bush. The birds, foxes, coyotes, chipmunks, and bear. How will they fare? Without these berries to fatten up on, it will be a hard winter for the bear. During a hiking trip, we're caught in a lightning storm and spot distant smoke. From then on, it feels like we're at war. Helicopters roar past, and the sky turns an apocalyptic red. Soon, the Casper Creek wildfire is less than 1 kilometer from us. We decide to stay and defend our home. Our setup is minimal. A pump in the lake, enough hose to get it uphill, and us 6 volunteer firefighters. That night, the wind gusts and the fire races towards us like a dragon of hell. We watch in the dark as it descends from above, engulfing entire trees in flame, raining down thousands of embers. For hours, I dig trenches as the fire creeps along the forest, meters from me. The air is so dry, my nose begins bleeding. The smoke is so thick, it hurts to breathe. After 72 sleepless hours, we manage to fend it off. I collapse into a dreamless sleep.
August.
When I walk into the forest, my feet sink into a foot of ash. I find places I know well, completely transformed. There are no white blooms of ocean spray, green leaves of mock orange, or open canopy of pines. Instead, a gray and black expanse of charred shrub and tree trunks surrounds me. My heart is torn asunder from the loss of the living, the trees young and old, the medicine plants, the young birds still unable to fly, the grasshoppers. I know that these lands will be renewed next spring, but the grief sits heavy. Myself waking up in the middle of the night coughing. The Casper Creek wildfire continues to burn in the valley to the north, and the plumes of smoke are carried downslope to my lungs. My voice is no longer husky, but my lungs are still sensitive. I take herbs to help soothe them, mullein, campaign, coltsfoot, but with all the smoke, I keep on coughing. On a backcountry trip in September, I hike up to a ridge and see thick plumes of smoke rising into the crisp blue sky. There is a different fire in all 4 directions. It seems like the whole world is on fire. Invite all those who helped us survive the fire to a thank you gathering. Over 40 people are coming. Folks who showed up as boots on the ground, or sent us key supplies, who made us food. We've been busy preparing a feast of wild meat, sweet pies, and harvest vegetables. When everyone assembles, we celebrate our successes and share our sorrows by telling the story of the wildfire. It is the first time since the wildfire happened 2.5 months ago that we are together. The wildfire fighting stories bring forth laughter and tears from everyone. That night, we dance the fire, letting our bodies move us through the story of the battle.
November.
The rains have finally come and have quelled the wildfires. The Casper Creek Fire is a historic ecological event that has changed the way I'll experience these mountain slopes for the rest of my life. I wonder about the coming rains and the snowmelt in the winter and spring to come. Now that the slopes have lost so many of their trees, will springtime bring a cycle of disastrous flooding?
This sonification was created by Miriam Quick and Duncan Gear. To make it, we used Google Sheets to wrangle the data, Sonic Pi and Logic Pro X to turn it into music, and Logic Pro X to turn that music into a track. The data came from the Canadian Interagency Forest Fires Centre and was accessed on the 18th of December 2023. Huge thanks go to Fern Yip of Earthkin Learning for sharing her experiences. Check out her work at earthkin.ca. Thanks to Mendel from the fantastic Future Ecologies podcast for introducing us to Fern. And thanks to Jeremy Singer-Vine for collaborating with us on this episode. You can find all the numbers we used to create the track in the show notes, and a final version without our commentary on all good streaming services. Search for Loud Numbers. Finally, if you'd like us to make a sonification for you, or to learn how to make your own music with data, check out our website at loudnumbers.net. Thanks for listening.